Teachers Talking Tech is a podcast by teachers for teachers. The podcast is fully funded by us, Mike and Eric, and we are not sponsored by anyone. So you know that when we share something, we believe that it is good for students and good for teachers. If you like what you hear, take a moment and donate through PayPal to brown145@yahoo.com. We appreciate your support.
Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
That's right. We got Marie Larson with us. We dragged her in here to another podcast. This one is all about screen time. And this is such a huge issue, I think, that teachers, especially, I mean, parents are dealing with this everywhere.
And everybody has their opinion on screen time.
They do. In fact, that's where I actually got the idea for this podcast. I was going through my Facebook feed, and I see, what was it? Screen time like cocaine. That was the one I saw.
All right, yeah.
I was thinking, like, wow, that's okay.
It doesn't sound dangerous. Yeah,
not at all. And then there's, like, all these videos out there that talk about how screen time, you know, it causes obesity. Screen time, I mean, it is, like, the catch-all for all of our youth's, you know, ills.
Problems, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of brought me back to, like, when I was young, it was heavy metal music was, like, the culprit of all of society's ills. Mm-hmm. There's, like, every, you know, rap music in the late 90s. And it got me thinking about that. But at the same time, I was thinking, like, well, is there validity to this? Should I be looking into this? You know, am I maybe unwittingly doing something to my kids?
Right. And we, Eric and I, both have our own children.
Right.
So, you know, if it's an issue, we got to look at that in that sense. And then we've got our students. And is it fair that our students are using up all of their available screen time at school? And is that fair to parents at home? So
yeah, that is a definite concern that I've heard from parents. I feel like this is just overall, it's the elephant in the room. It's like the next thing to fall with technology is when's going to be that kind of balancing that, you know, balancing point. Like, we've come so far so quickly. When is it going to kind of rebound a bit?
Like, and people
are
the other way,
people are going to say, hey, are we using way too much? So, you know, I looked at some studies, and I can tell you that some of the studies are valid. Some of them, you just can't tell. There's a lot of studies that I saw that are correlative but not causal. So, like, you know, you can't say that screen time causes ADHD, or you can't say that screen time causes hyperactivity, but there are studies out there that suggest that. And a lot of these are kind of, as I looked into it a little bit more, it's screen time before bed is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And if it affects kids' sleep, then that sleep deprivation or that loss of sleep, that can lead to a million problems.
It affects your ability to concentrate at school the next day.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily the screen time, but it was the lack of sleep.
Exactly. So beware when you hear about these studies that some of them are a couple steps away from screen time. They have more to do with, like, you know,
it's
with these other studies.
It's more of a factor that leads to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Same thing with obesity. Like, could screen time cause obesity? Well, it could if you spent 10 hours a day on the screen instead of
three bags of chips and a couple of sodas next to you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, if you're doing it instead of doing something outdoors, it could lead to poor reading scores if you're on a screen watching videos instead of reading.
Right.
So it's not really a causal factor. But two things I did find that have been studied have been, number one, screen time can be addictive for children.
Mm-hmm.
It activates certain parts of the brain. And this is where all these, like, it's the same as cocaine.
Yeah, that's where that big dramatic headline comes from, right?
Exactly. So, no, it's just that your brain gets a lot of positive things that when you're looking at a screen, it can be a lot of great things. Same thing with television, sugar, right?
Yeah.
The second one was sleep. The blue light coming from a device before bed has been shown to affect sleep patterns. Anyway, we don't want to get too much into that kind of stuff. Really, what we want to get into more is, okay, well then how do we address it? How do we as educators reflect on our use of technology? Now, while you guys were probably on tanning beds, or I don't know what you were doing over spring break, but while you guys were probably doing something fun, I was reading a book.
Who says reading's not fun?
That's right.
That's right. You were having fun.
No, it was totally fun. So I read this really great book called The Art of Screen Time, and it's by Anya Kamenetz. And she is NPR's lead education blogger, okay? Mm-hmm. And so her book is called The Art of Screen Time, and she basically boils it down to three simple rules. And she got these rules from the food world. And it kind of comes down to, hey, when something's broke, you don't just throw it out the window.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, there's junk food, but like that doesn't mean we don't eat, right? Mm-hmm. And so here's her three rules for screen time. So number one is enjoy screens. And I think she means like being mindful about how, you know, are you actually enjoying? Or are you just passively staring at a screen?
Right. We've all seen. I've been guilty of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting here doing nothing and I pick up my phone and I just start scrolling through it. And I'm not even paying attention to what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Is that good use of that time?
Exactly. Second one is not too much. Right. And I know that Marie and I had talked about this, that sometimes we get that feeling in our classroom that we may be overdoing it a bit, right?
Being mindful and being, do I have to use a screen for this? Can I give the kids a choice? Do
exactly.
they need to use it for this?
Yep. And then the third one is enjoy screens mostly together. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one that really hit home with me. I think that I've heard so much about like one-to-one. Kids need to be one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I know in a lot of families we're one-to-one, right?
Right.
And what it leads to is it leads to people all at the same dinner table all looking at their device, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is one-to-one really the end goal? Is that really what we want? So I just wanted to go through all three of these. And I wanted to get your opinions. And I also wanted to talk about our mistakes, things that we have learned just through our time with technology.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, her first rule, right, was enjoy screens. Made me think of mindful and purposeful, right?
Uh-huh.
So does your lesson need a device? So like Marie, you were talking about this when you're doing your choice, you know, letting kids choose what apps they were doing. Well, how do you approach that when you're thinking about screen time?
This year I've been really reflective on, and my whole personal goal this year was student choice.
Yeah.
And so I think when I give an assignment, instead of just doing it the one way, like everyone get on this one app and do it this one way, I think, do we need to use screens for this? There are some, you know, we have like our math manipulatives on a screen. Some of my kids like need the actual manipulatives in front of them, like we put them away.
Mm-hmm.
So and I think what's best for kids, like do we need to use our screen for this? Or can I give you a choice of using your screen for this? Do we need to take a break from our devices?
Yeah. No, I would totally agree. I think that because there's so many bells and whistles, sometimes we just are automatically drawn to it because it's easy.
It is easy. And it's hard to, I mean, sometimes, you know, to get all that stuff out takes time when I could just have them get on their iPad and pull up their pattern blocks on their iPad instead of getting all the blocks out. But they need that tactile piece too.
Yeah, so. Totally.
I think in my classroom, it's become a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Like my kids come in the morning and the first thing they do is they grab their device out and they pull it out and maybe they open Epic and start reading or whatever. It's not they're doing bad things with it, but boy, they could just grab a regular book.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have unfinished work and that's really what's supposed to be done during that time, but they forget because they're in such a habit of getting their iPad out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's a routine. It's
yeah,
routine
it's
to
part
come
of
in
a
and
routine
grab it.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's almost like I don't know how to break that routine at this point in the year because they're so ingrained on.
Right.
They walk in, I do my lunch count, I get my iPad.
Well, and I think that we all learn as we go. Technology has come so fast and at us that, of course, we're going to make mistakes. We can't beat ourselves over the heads. Like, most of these things that I'm seeing, these memes and videos that are shared, it's basically parent blaming. It is like, how dare you give your kids a phone at the dinner table while you're out to eat or something like that. And it's a deeper thing than that. It's not just, mm-hmm. I can solve all problems by telling you how to live. There's always that middle ground you can find, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing. We can't beat ourselves up too much for these mistakes. You know?
Right. I think there's a really, and I don't know if this is the part of this topic or not, but I think there's a really interesting stigma that you just brought up, that there's two camps out there at the dinner table.
Right.
Well, you know, you go out to dinner with your spouse. I'm going to go out to dinner tonight with my wife and my kids. And I don't know if we'll get our devices out or if the kids will get devices out or not. But sometimes you get that look from people at the in the restaurant because the kids are on their iPad or whatever. Well, what's the difference if they were reading a book or playing with Legos or whatever? But for some reason, there's a stigma to electronic devices at the dinner table.
There is. And then it's that quick rush to judgment rather than thinking like, well, what are they actually doing?
Right, right. Nobody has any idea if they're playing a Temple Run on their iPad or if they're creating a book on Book Creator that they've been working on at school or whatever.
Well, I think we talked a lot about the creativity available on a device.
Yeah.
Using it as more of a tool. Yes. I think I've been really conscious about, you know, your iPad isn't for playing, it's a tool. And here are the things that we can use it for.
Well, and that brings us right into the next one, which is enjoying screens together. So in the household, this would be, you know, watching television together rather than using it as a babysitting device.
Mm-hmm.
In the classroom, I think what it really speaks to is, are you using it as a way to teach digital citizenship, right? You know, I know that we had talked about this, Marie, and I think I've talked to you about this too, Mike, where my kids, I'll say, hey, guys, and I'll be talking to them, and they'll be staring at their devices. And we have to say, we need to work on this as a community. And you know what? It's one of those things that if we do not teach that, then who is?
Well,
you know?
And it's part of what we teach citizenship and we teach all of those key core values, but this is just an added one, and technology is going to be part of their entire lives. Well, and we had at the beginning of the year how we sat our kids down and talked to them about, you know, when I'm talking or even another student's talking to you, if you're not looking at them, like you're saying, the device is more important than a person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's held, you know, that's been a good reminder all year for me to continue to say.
Yeah. So I would just keep that in mind when you're planning lessons. It doesn't always have to be every child is looking at their device. You know, have lessons where it's three kids on one device, where they're talking while they're using it to create.
Sharing.
Sharing and all those kind of things. And then the last one, not too much. It's really, a time limit is not the focus, I don't think, for me.
Right.
For me, it's that food analogy again. Mm-hmm. What are they doing while they're on them is more important to me than how long.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that if I was having dinner, I wouldn't say, how long did you eat? I would say, how much did you eat and what did you eat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same thing with screen time. If I had parents that are saying, how many hours are you on your screens a day?
Mm-hmm.
I could give them a range, but I'd say, but here's what we're doing.
But what are you doing with it? Right? Why? What's the purpose?
Because I doubt very many parents are having their kids make books in Book Creator at home on their device, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're watching videos on YouTube. It's a totally different mind frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's recreational.
It is.
When they get home, you know, and they should have some time to be recreational with these devices.
Yeah.
Right, and play around and explore.
Yeah, for sure. But at school, we're using them as a tool, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think you make a great point of saying it's not about how long, but what are you doing?
Exactly. And I think that this book gave me a way to talk to parents. If they come in and question how much we are using technology, I can just tell them, here's the way we monitor it. You know, first of all, we, you know, monitor what kinds of things we're doing. And I reflect using SAMR, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, you know, modify or redefine the way we do things in our classroom with technology, not just using it as a practice device, right? And I could do a whole nother thing on how much time we're wasting doing test prep on these. You know what I mean? You guys know I've ranted about this before.
What? Like, love taking tests.
That could be a whole other another episode.
I think I might do that. I might do that. Now, I have a couple things I would add. I love her three rules. Again, they're just enjoy screens mindfully and purposely. Enjoy the screens together and not too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, like food. But a couple things I would add would be mindful about apps, videos that have stereotypes within them, especially the gamified ones where it's like, you know, rescuing the woman or they're shooting something. Even if they're not shooting bullets, they're shooting something. Think about, does that app reflect the kind of values you're teaching in your school,
right?
You can't say like, we're all bucket fillers, and then you're turning around and they're doing some game that has adding in it, but it really...
Yeah, I think back to when we first got our devices, we got Math Blaster on our iPads, which was the kids' favorite app. I'm like, oh, they're doing math. Well, they're doing like a second and two or two of math, and the rest of the time they're shooting aliens with their... I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So it was like, I'm not sure if this is the best one.
Yeah.
Practicing our math facts with.
Exactly. No, that's a good example. Another one that I had to learn was being very mindful of your words. Don't ever say, we're going to be playing on our devices, anything like that. You really have to talk about it the same way you would any learning tool.
Yeah.
And another lesson I learned is just don't use them during indoor recess or doing free choice time.
Yeah.
Unless the kids are working on a project or something like that. But if you let it, you know, if you let it turn into a toy, that's how they will use it and that's how they'll think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that was another one that I really had to, you know, reflect and question myself, like, am I using this appropriately?
I think reframing it for me even this year, as opposed to last year, reframing it as more of a tool and more of working on it. I think my kids asking me different things that they can do on it has been different. Mm-hmm. Like for indoor recess, instead of saying, can I play a game on it? They'll ask me, can I look up how to draw a video and draw?
Yeah.
So I think kind of reframing it as more of a tool. They kind of know at school, like we don't just play on them.
Right. Yes.
But that's been very intentional for me this year.
Yeah. Well, and being intentional, I think that one other thing I would say to teachers is don't take away the devices to teach a lesson.
Right.
Like, model it and meet about it and talk about it and only take away the devices in an extreme case.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you let them learn in this kind of safe environment where mistakes are okay, then they when they leave the classroom, there's a better chance they'll actually act on those things, you know, rather than just waiting for somebody to bust them, I guess. So that would be another one.
Right. I mean, if a kid's tapping his pencil on the table 1,000 times, it's driving you crazy. You're not going to take his pencil away.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he makes mistakes, and you have to address it, but
yeah,
you have to address it in the right way.
You do. All right, well, hopefully we gave you some tools as you reflect on screen time in your classroom. It's a big issue. It's a tough issue, and you really have to deal with it in your own way. I know that I even had to do a tech-free day a couple weeks ago, and I didn't make it a punishment. It was just like, hey, we're not using them today. I would highly recommend that, by the way. It just really refocused us on why we use the devices, and I didn't even mention it. We just didn't get them out, and it was kind of a nice change of pace for us. And so I would recommend that if you could do it. So I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
And we would love it if you would connect with us on Facebook. You can check us out on YouTube at Teachers Talking Tech on both of those. You can follow us on Twitter at
Teach Some Tech.
And we'd love to hear you from me on any of those with show ideas. In fact, and I know I've tried to wrap up this show like 3 times. So yeah, sorry.
Longest show ever.
Sorry. But I did hear back on Twitter, somebody wanted us to do a mini-cast all about different screen recording devices. So I'm going to do a quick mini-cast on that next week, so you can check that out. But until then, this has been Teachers Talking Tech. Thanks for listening. See ya.